Hey everyone, and welcome back to Mally Mal's Investment Hangout. It's your boy, Malcolm Egan, coming at you live and direct. Pleased to have you join me. Just wanted to say that the core goal of my show is to revolutionize the thinking and saving mentalities of impoverished communities nationwide and eventually worldwide when it comes to money. Here's a short disclaimer. I am not qualified, certified, nor paid by the SEC or any governing agencies to give financial advice, investment direction, or stock tips to any persons of interest. The information shared will only be general knowledge already available to the public through preferred sources. My show will only share basic knowledge of investing and strategies that I personally use to build incremental wealth. Hey guys, and welcome back to Mally Mal's Investment Hangout. Thank you once again for joining me for episode 9. So, I'm pretty sure you guys have been following through episode after episode, and I usually talk about stocks, cryptocurrencies, and just current events overall. But, you know, this is a podcast that's dedicated to really enlightening and empowering my generation, the millennial generation, as well as the succeeding generation. And I had a debate today with a colleague of mine on Facebook, and the debate was raised by a post that took place at the Grammy weekend back in New York last week. Now, on this post, it was a picture of Jay-Z. He was surrounded by, you know, a lot of made individuals in the hip-hop community, names such as Yo Gotti, Steve Stout, Swiss Beatz, T.I., Jim Jones, DJ Khaled, Big Sean, members of the Life and Times blog for Roc Nation, and the list goes on. It was just a lot of made men, you know, Kareem Biggs Burke, one of the co-founders of Rockefeller Records. So a lot of made men in this picture. And basically, this guy posted and said, over $1 billion in this picture and not one black-owned independent town, school, hospital, bank, insurance company, manufacturing company, or militia. We are our own biggest problem. Hashtag let's debate. So I decided to take upon myself to debate. Now, you know, there were a lot of opposing opinions on his post. A lot of people felt that, you know, he was wrong for saying that, and I actually agreed that he was actually kind of wrong for kind of pinpointing at, you know, these made individuals or these multimillionaires and even some billionaires actually or don't have a hand in their communities when it comes to institutions. Now, while I don't believe that's 100% true, I do want to hold them accountable in stating that not all of them are targeting industries that need the most disruption. And what I mean by that is very simple. These industries that are currently being targeted by these hip-hop moguls and high-end influencers, a lot of them are targeting, you know, the sports industry, fashion, media, you know, music, and the list goes on. A lot of glamorous industries. But, you know, I will agree with this guy that they don't really target some of the independent, you know, operations that are kind of black owned, i.e., you know, charter schools, you know, maybe small level hospitals, you know, credit unions, you know, insurance companies that are kind of for, you know, military veterans and so forth. Even manufacturing companies, you know, it would be kind of smart to kind of put some money behind that, you know. But I will say this, and I quote, my observation of this is that we do have black-owned banks. We have, you know, companies that kind of are the subordinate under the umbrella for big manufacturing companies, schools, hospitals, you know, banks, loan companies. We have them. But the main issue that I want to bring to discussion is that a lot of these institutions are very poor in resources. And as a result, most of them, if not all, tend to fold after a certain amount of years in operation. Reason being, It's because they lack the quality. They lack the necessary quality to kind of, you know, provide a top tier level of service. A lot of them don't really have the bandwidth to kind of, you know, apply to a mass number of individuals on a consistent level, on a consistent high quality level. And that causes them to have a lot of bad customer experiences. And we all know in business, your lifeblood is your customers. You cannot exist in a business world without happy customers. Okay? So I did shed some light on each topic, from banks to manufacturers to schools and hospitals, etc. And I'm going to definitely share some knowledge or insight about those particular happenings. Now, before I do, I just want to say I hope I do not offend anybody, but if I do, you're more than welcome to contact me personally. Right, so I beg to differ, and the reason why I beg to differ is because I know, I study, what I do is I study the hip-hop community, the hip-hop community very closely. You know, I'm a child of hip-hop. I grew up in the 90s era where, you know, the 90s, the early to mid-2000s, where, you know, you had a glimpse of Biggie and Pac, you know, right before they were killed. And then you had the wave of Def Jam takeover from the DMX, the Nas's, the Jay-Z's. You had, you know, Ludacris, Redman, and Method Man. You even had Wu-Tang doing their thing, you know, towards the end of the 90s era. And in the early 2000s, you know, you have 50 Cent, G-Unit, you know, Dipset, D-Block, and the list goes on. But, you know, back to subject, I always studied the hip-hop community, and I became more conscious with some of the strategic moves that, you know, a lot of the kind of the game changers, the cultural, you know, leaders such as Jay-Z, you know, P. Diddy, 50, Dr. Dre, and the list goes on. You know, somebody of that high of an echelon who has really kind of capitalized on their music and their overall business ventures. And what I noticed is that these guys, they really position themselves to partner with something called smart money. And if you don't know what smart money is mainly investors, angels, you know, donors that not only give you access to, you know, large funds or large capital, but they also have connections that are very powerful in different industries. Okay. So as an investor, or let's even take it back, as a person who is an entrepreneur looking to break their business in a particular industry, they want to connect with an investor who has smart money in that particular industry. So they want to have an investor that mainly knows that industry to the back of their hand, can actually give you the money to kind of get your business running, and also want to position you with the appropriate influencers and connections so your business is deemed successful upon start. Now, how does this relate to hip-hop, right? Now, in hip-hop, what I've noticed is that we've become more awake, we've become more woke, quote-unquote, when it comes to owning your own businesses, right? Like owning your own KFCs, your own car washes, your own juice bars, your own 40-40 clubs, you know, your own Ciroc's, your own Ace of Spades. You know, just the list goes on. You become more conscious because you know that's where the bread and butter is when you have ownership as opposed to being a worker, you know, for a huge conglomerate. So me knowing this and studying the hip-hop community, I'm always kept abreast with some of their, you know, their transactions in terms of business ventures. So I said that, you know, I think that's false because rappers such as Cam'ron, Jim Jones, members of the D-Block and the Lox groups such as, you know, Jadakiss, Styles P, Sheik Looch, a lot of them own local juice bars, car washes, you know, franchises across New York City and, you know, across like Westchester area. And a lot of them, you know, they have a hand in these businesses. A lot of them are running it on the front line. Some are running it, you know, behind closed doors, you know, as an operating partner. And I think that's a beautiful thing because, you know, even though it's not televised, it doesn't mean that we're not doing it. You know, we are looking to buy back our communities and kind of recycle the African-American dollar. But this guy who posted this felt that, you know, these made men need to kind of intertwine with each other and kind of go on a larger scale. And I totally agree. You know what I'm saying? I totally agree because I feel that if we were to sell these ideas, and I'm pretty sure the hip hop community knows this, but if we were to sell these ideas to a large mass of individuals and say, hey, look, let's put art of war to the test and let's strategize, an army of individuals who are entrepreneurial and kind of economically conscious on some of the holes that we have in certain industries. Let's shake up the world, let's disrupt some industries that are kind of traditional and very white collar, the hospitals, the banks, the legal firms, things that have that have commodities and that have a long track record of success and stability across the nation. All right, guys, so this is what my response was, right? So I believe that in being very conscious in terms of economic empowerment, especially for African Americans, that's the first step. That's really just scratching the surface. You necessarily want to figure out sophisticated measures and how to respond to the ever so dying need of getting into these industries that are kind of, controlled by those generational perceptions and skepticisms of African Americans as leaders, so those hospitals, those banks, the legal firms, these schooling systems, a lot of them, especially in the urban proximities, are subject to a lot of turmoil in terms of quality, performance, and are declining drastically year after year. The best approach, in my opinion, is you're going to need a powerful source, and that source has to be something that can provide a lengthy amount of capital, along with the proper top tier training, when it comes to customer service and it comes to overall production of that particular business. Just having a few guys that are worth 100 mil or more, or are multimillionaires, does not cut it, because you can put as much money into a business, but if you don't invest wisely or take those calculated risks, you won't necessarily see the fruits of your labor. Makes sense? So I know if I'm investing, it's just like the stock. It's like a stock market, right? If I'm investing in a stock, right, I want to study that business inside and out. I want to make sure that the business is innovatively, doing some type of advancement in terms of their production, their product listings, whatever the case may be, that can kind of uplift that company. I want to see where their profit margins, have they increased, have they had a good 5-year run, are they declining, what are they doing to bounce back? You really want to try to study that. It's the same application when it comes to infiltrating these particular markets, right? So in my response to the gentleman that was kind of irate about that post, in order to rebuild a Black Wall Street, you're going to need more than just, small mom and pop shops, especially in today's world. We're talking 2018. You're going to need the focus in markets that have, a huge demand to support these ventures. The Atlantas, the Florida, the Miami, Florida, the Tampa Bay, Floridas, the Baltimore, well, yeah, Baltimore, Maryland's, the Washington, D.C.'s, the Boston, Massachusetts, the Newark, New Jersey's, the Harlem, New York's, the Chicago, Illinois's, the Los Angeles, California's, the San Francisco's, the Oakland's, the Bay Area in whole. These markets are the Houston, Texas's. These markets are very big and have such a huge black following, as well as a focus of black individuals that are living in that area. But they have a very huge kind of distance when it comes to those sources, having the relationships with those sources. So how do you build those relationships? It's very simple, matter of fact, I take it back. It's not that very simple. In order to build those relationships, you're going to need a lot of grit and a lot of balls to really make it happen, those real estate development corporations, connecting with donors, just a lot of smart money influencers, you're going to have to really just prove your leadership to them. And it's very easy to say that it's very simple, but it's not. It's very, you know, what is the word I'm looking for? Complicated. Just really having that grit, the necessary grit, will really change kind of the playing ground, you know. And just to speak about myself, I'm doing that in the STEM world. You know, I'm building my own technology for fitness centers. I'm also trying to dabble into real estate now. You know, I know that these industries, you know, again, have these generational chokeholds, and to release those chokeholds, you're going to need a lot of tugging, more than one hand, maybe, you know, an army of people that can prove the leadership. So with that being said, that's just my kind of argument with that situation. So yeah, guys, so really that's my approach to answering that sort of problem, is you're really going to need a lot more than just capital. You're going to need those strategic relationship builds, and to successfully, you know, prove your leadership, you're going to need to do it on a very large platform. Now, the advantage that, you know, Jigga and Puffy, you know, or Jay-Z and P. Diddy have is that they have the large platform to prove their leadership skills, right? They've been successful in a number of different ventures. But again, crossing over to those traditional ventures with those generational chokeholds is very tough. Now, the industries that I mentioned, we have less than 5% of the African American population, not only in middle management, but also at a C-suite position or a C-level executive position. So, you know, just think about those numbers. You know, it's very hard to kind of build that that army that we speak of, okay? Now, the one thing I will say is that Jay-Z and Diddy and even 50, Dr. Dre, you know, a lot of them have proven to connect with smart investors, you know, people with large capital expenditures and that can kind of, you know, streamline and accelerate some of their business ventures to the masses. Now, can they intertwine and kind of create their own, you know, donor system or kind of lending arm? Absolutely. So that's my challenge to them is, you know, can we do that? Can we intertwine together and infiltrate these markets and kind of, you know, shake up those grounds, really disrupt those industries, getting those doctors and those lawyers and those persons that are, you know, kind of content with their six-figure salaries and, you know, their comfort and their tenure in the industries, kind of get them to, you know, spark that brain, spark that that plug in their brain and say, hey, you know what? I want more people to look like me in STEM, which is science, technology, engineering, and manufacturing. Oh, excuse me, in math. I said manufacturing. But in STEM. I want more people to look like me in the doctoral industry, the medical industry. I want more people to look like me in the legal industry and, you know, the banking world and et cetera. There's no reason why, you know, there should be such small numbers in each industry, especially if we have guys that, you know, are pushing the envelope in different industries and that have the capital to really move mountains. You know, we should be able to intertwine our resources together and start to build our own communities in each market. If we approach it that way, I think we will really be able to gain a lot of traction as opposed to our pastimes where, you know, it took us nearly 60+ years, which is 60+ years to get to where we are today. So on that note, guys, I'm wrapping up. You know, it was a different kind of temperature or mode for this particular episode. But as I mentioned before, I am an African-American, a proud African-American that has roots from Africa, from West Africa per se. My parents are both African, Liberia and Nigeria. And I was born here. So I was a first generation African-American. And I am very passionate about the economic empowerment of my people. And I pray to one day see more people that look like me in these traditional industries. So if you do like this episode and just wanted to, you know, kind of verbally spar with me or debate on some of the things that I've mentioned, feel free to visit me on Mally Mal's Investment Hangout, the Facebook page. Leave a comment. You can call in. This is my radio station as well as my podcast. And on that note, I will speak to you during next episode. It will be our 10th episode next. So this is Malcolm Egan tuning out. Peace. Hey there, just listened to an episode from Mally Mal's Investment Hangout. Thanks for tuning in. Your ears are truly welcome. Until next time, take care.